Runner leads off, pitch is swung on, hit high in the air, center field and not deep. Thompson is there, drifting in, coming on in, makes the grab. Ball game over, pigs fly, pigs fly, pigs fly with a 3-0 shutout on opening day 2012. How do you like that?
Well, we like it fine, and this is Lehigh Valley Discourse in what has become a tradition, pre and postseason. We are being visited by the voice of the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs, Matt Provence, and we have two others in the studio this evening, including John Pierce, who has graciously given up one of his Lehigh Valley Discourse slots and allowed me to sit in his chair tonight, but he's with us, and number one Iron Pigs fan, Rosalie Viscomi, and I don't use that term lightly. Rosalie, how many games did you attend in 2012?
I believe it was 66 games.
Only 66 out of 80 games, huh?
Wow.
So, what's wrong with her?
Matt, she made almost as more games than you did.
I know. I might as well. You know what? Maybe I'll be moving over my chair, too, just like you did for Steve. I'll do it for Rosalie. Let her call the play-by-play. Why not, right?
Well, you do have those Wednesday evenings when a fan can actually sit right next to you and for half an inning and view the game and discuss it with you, right?
Yeah, it's something that we've done since year one. You know, it's called Broadcast from the Stands. And I know, Steve, you've been on a few times. And we've had a good time interacting with a lot of our number one fans and people who come out religiously, maybe not quite 66 like Rosalie, but people who do know what's going on and people who do appreciate what we do at the ballpark. And, you know, it's kind of fun for me because then I get to meet some of the people who do come to so many games because I don't see them. I'm up in the booth most of the time. So it is good. It's good interaction with the fans, and people have been really excited to have a chance to do it. So we'll continue to do that in some form or another as we move forward.
Well, 2012 was another great season for the Iron Pigs, not quite as successful as 2011. But we're going to look back at 2012 and also take a look ahead to 2013. And I want to tell you that we have some breaking news about 2013, but we're not going to talk about it right now. And we're going to talk about some aspects of the organization that listeners may not be familiar with, including Iron Pigs Charities. So that is what we have ahead of us on Lehigh Valley Discourse this evening. And I want to ask Matt, after the great year in 2011, what were your own expectations about what 2012 was going to look like?
Well, quite frankly, I was a bit shocked when we first learned that Ryan Sandberg was going to come back for a second season. You know, I think that there is an obvious effect of having Ryan Sandberg in the dugout, the players, the rate of play, their commitment to the game, the craft, was seemingly at a much higher rate than I had seen the previous 3 years, or for that matter, many years I had been in minor league baseball. So it was a good start to have Ryan Sandberg back. You know, for me, when I saw the opening day roster, I remember looking to my cohorts in crime, John Schaefer, who's on the air with me, and Tim Doohan, who's also in the media relations department, and I said, if there's one area that this team, and really this organization as a whole, top to bottom, would struggle, would be with power. And nothing to do with Hurricane Sandy. We were worried about the power back in March. And I think ultimately the thing that did in the Pigs, aside from so many promotions up to Philadelphia, was that just didn't quite have the offensive firepower to carry the team into the postseason like it did in 2011. But, Steve, fortunately, again, it took us down to the final week of the season. We were still mathematically alive. And as a fan or as a radio broadcaster for a team, I really think realistically that's all you can ask for is to have a chance to be in the playoffs come the final week of the season so that 140 or 140, however many of 144 are meaningful.
Matt, it seems to me that just a few weeks before that, we were really in the hunt. We started to fade the last, what, 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, and you know, it started a little bit earlier. If you look back to the year, you know, Eric Kratz was a big part of our team for two straight years, or at least the first part of 2012 and certainly all of 2011. He went up with all the injuries at the catching position in Philadelphia. Kevin Franson, really the glue to our offensive attack, you know, the two-hitter in the lineup, a guy who always puts the ball in play, a guy that's better than 300, he gets called up and never comes back. Dominic Brown was starting to get things together, giving us some offense, a little punch from the left side. He goes up, only never to come back. It got to a point right down the stretch, too, in one of the most important games of the year, right before we were about to take the field, it seemed like Tyler Cloyd, who was the 2012 International League Pitcher of the Year, got called up by Philadelphia. And I think at that point, that was the coup de grace. I mean, when we lost Tyler Cloyd, you know, trailing a couple of games in the standings with a handful to go, he was lined up to pitch one game and then the last game of the year, so he was going to pitch twice the final six games. When they called him up before that game 137 to Philadelphia, we knew, uh-oh. And sure enough, you know, we didn't make it, as it would turn out.
Before we go further, I did mean to ask you this question before we got too far in it, since you mentioned Hurricane Sandy. How did you make out, and how did Coca-Cola Park do?
You know, I tell you, surprisingly well. You know, the left pole, left foul pole went down, which is kind of probably the last thing in the world we would have suspected when you look at all the signage and some of the bigger signs that probably don't hold wind resistance nearly as well. But we had a pole down. We lost one scoreboard panel, and then one sign in right field was shred. Kind of funny, because one thing in left, one thing in center, one thing to right. A real good spray hitter, this Sandy was. Sandy Amoros, for some of the older baseball fans, evidently.
Brooklyn Dodgers, 1955 catch.
But, you know, we were so fortunate, too, not to lose power either, that, you know, some of our front office, it was like a refugee camp. You know, I brought my family. We were down in the home clubhouse where it was a little bit warmer, and we had TV, and the kids could play video games or watch TV and run around a little bit. And, you know, up in the top level, some of the other people were hanging out, you know, chilling and just making their way through the weekend, or the week. It was during the week, and we had no work, of course, because of the conditions all around. But as power comes back, we're losing some of that refugee camp appeal. But we were really blessed that Coca-Cola Park got out so unscathed by the storm as it did.
Did you call on Farmer Sally to amuse the children?
Let me tell you something. The children, it's amazing what happens when you don't have power. You've all been through it before. See, I'm getting new to this. And, you know, all the crutches, all the standbys that you have when you're trying to cook dinner or get some work done, many of them are gone. You know, they can't even read because, I don't have these elaborate candelabras like we may have had in the earlier years. So it is a lesson in parenting that you guys, many of you probably have been through. But for me, just to get some electricity and the chance for these kids to, you know, maybe watch Dora for an hour or Mickey Mouse for an hour was like a little slice of heaven.
Even in a storm, Coca-Cola
Park comes through. I mean, that's just the feeling I get when I'm at the games. And during this difficult time, I'm just very happy and not surprised to hear it. It's great.
It's kind of our own refuge during the summer, right? The team had, we've already alluded to this, but the team had an evolving look and changing cast of characters all year, including right at the beginning of the year. We lost, the Iron Pigs lost folks like Brandon Moss and Josh Barfield that was so important last year. And estimates are that the 60 different players played for the team, yep. But the team was still competing for a playoff spot until the very last weekend of the season. And I want to play a few highlights. It was plays like these that allowed that to happen.
Nobody out. Top of the eighth inning in a one-run game. Horse comes set. He deals home. And it's popped up. Caught by Kratz. A nasty catch. Fires the second. Double play. Fires the first. Triple play. Holy cow. Holy Kratz. As the Pigs have their first ever triple play in Iron Pigs history. 2-6-3. And we're out of Dodge with a 1-0 lead. Holy Toledo. How do you like all that?
Well, I guess we could say Pigs.
Tied at 3 in the 11th. Runners at first and second, one out. Eckbert delivers 1-1. Pitch swung on and grounded for a base hit to right field. Martin is up with it. They're waving Kratz. Here comes the throw to the plate, and it is late. And the Iron Pigs win it in 11 innings. And in 11 innings, Lehigh Valley has their first walk-off win of the year.
Can Tuffy be the hero? Winning run 90 feet away. Pitch swung on a chopper left side. Tough play. It's through the hole. Base hit down from third. Luna. Pigs fly. Pigs fly. Pigs fly on the walk-off game winner by Goes-A-Wish. Here's the 3-2 offering. Swung on it high in the air. Left field and deep. Dorn back at the track. At the wall. Forgot about it. It's out of here. And the game won on the solo job by Andres Blanco. Runners lead off. Here's the 0-1. Swung on and drilled out left center field and deep. This one is going to get down to the gap and win the game. Around from third comes Sustorf. In at first with the game-winning walk-off single is Cody Overbeck. All three runners lead 4-4 bottom seven. Pitch swung on. Ball game over. Pigs fly. Pigs fly. Pigs fly with a four-run comeback and their fifth walk-off victory of the year.
Well, that's just 5 of 13 of those. I think we were at several of them. It was just such a great time. But again, with this revolving door and having almost a completely new cast of characters from 2011 into 2012, They had these 13 walk-off wins. They had exciting plays like the triple play. How did they stay so competitive, Matt?
I mean, honestly, and it sounds so cliche, it's been said by the media in our area, whether it's been the print media, the TV, the radio, us. I mean, it's just you really think that Ryan Sandberg had a big part of that. And I say that because when you win one-run games, when you win 13 walk-off wins, I mean, 13 is by far the most in the league. And to give you an idea, we had, I believe, 13 combined in the first 4 years coming in to 2012. There's a reason for that. You know, you have to make the little play. You have to stay with it. You have to keep that competitive edge deep in the games to win in walk-off fashion. And I think that, you know, look, talent aside, it wasn't the most talented team last year. I mean, it was probably, you know, in the bottom half of our most talented teams from top to bottom if you consider all the transactions we had. But for me, the fact that you had a manager that kept this team always into the game, no excuses, everybody had to be up watching the action, ready to go, I think that what pays extreme dividends. And I give a lot of credit to Ryan Sandberg. Hopefully, you know, in the next new era of Iron Pigs baseball, we'll see similar results. But, I mean, think about the difference. I mean, 13 walk, if you only win six of them, which would be about the norm, higher than the average of the first 4 years, you're, you know, an extra six games out in the standings. You know, and now you're not going down to the final 4, 5, 6 days of the year. You know, now you're out by mid-August. So the implications are huge by such wins, and for me as a guy calling the action, I mean, every night I had to believe that it would happen and still be in disbelief when it actually did because it was so exciting the way these games were won.
Matt, it sounds as if what you're saying is the players sort of felt that Ryan Sandberg expected them to go out and win that game in the last inning.
Well, there's a huge term that athletes and guys around professional sports always use, whether you're talking about someone who took your parking spot or somebody who gave, you know, who threw you under the bus at work. We always say you got big leagued. Well, if you're a professional player, you can't big league a Hall of Famer. You know, this guy's a Hall of Famer, okay? None of these guys are even in the big leagues, but they'll still big league, you know, younger managers. But you can't big league a Hall of Famer. And, you know, for me, the fact that this guy always had their respect isn't necessarily a shock, but it's certainly a helpful factor. And that's something that we didn't see for 3 years. And look, the previous manager may not have had much major league experience. That doesn't mean he couldn't have still had the respect of the players. But that being said, when you're a Hall of Famer and you've got the pedigree and what you have done has not only worked to make you a big leaguer and an all-star, but one of the elite in baseball history, you can't help but to listen to the advice, heed the advice, and get on his game plan quickly. And that's what these two teams did the last 2 years.
One of the calls that you just made that we heard played was a triple play. Is that the very first one you've ever called?
It was. And now there is a caveat here. There's an asterisk. I really wasn't all that thrilled with the call, but I called that triple play from about 450 feet from home plate in the Red Robin Oasis on one of our Wednesdays. We were broadcasting from the stands. I can't even see 450 feet anymore at my age now as I get a little bit older. So I wish that could have been one I called from the radio booth. But it was still exciting nonetheless. Like, you saw it unfolding, and you were so excited as a huge Iron Pigs fan that I am, that you can just hear maybe the over-the-top excitement. That's kind of my style, though. And so Right. That's me being excited that this thing might really happen, and it eventually did.
Did that take place at Coca-Cola Park?
It was. Yes, yeah, it was on Wednesday.
Did you see it, Steve?
Yes.
Oh. Rosalie?
We were there.
Oh, wonderful.
I shouted in the kind of disbelief. I said, triple play? Triple play? It was incredible.
And keep in mind, guys, it was the eighth inning of a 1-0 game that we were leading 1-0. They had two on, nobody out. So I'm thinking in my head, oh, great, the game's at least tied. I mean, we're lucky to get out of here with a tie if not down by one. And then all of a sudden, on one failed bunt, the inning's over just like that. Pigs hold on to win that game. So
wow.
It's fun. It's important.
I want to go back to walk-off win. Just in case there are some listeners out there that don't know what a walk-off win is, would you explain that?
Well, it's a good point. We take a lot for granted, in the industry. But a walk-off win simply is as literal, you know, as it sounds. I mean, you win in walk-off fashion, meaning that the game is won, and you walk off the field. Simply, it's a run scoring when that run ends the game. So you'd have a tie, or you'd be trailing, and then a run would come up, you know, before the third out of an inning and cause your team to win. And hence the terminology walk-off win. It's the most exciting thing. I mean, there's the Hail Mary in football that's caught, a last-second touchdown. Or in the NBA, you see a guy take a long three-pointer down two and nothing but net, and the place goes crazy. That's baseball's equivalent, you know, winning like that, because either you're behind or you're tied. But That does it. Everybody goes
so
home happy.
So it has to be the home team that does the walk-off, and it has to be the bottom of the ninth.
Or extra innings. Yes.
Yeah, you're 100% correct. Now, again, this is a funny nuance of baseball. One of those calls you heard, the Cody Overbeck hit to the gap, was the first ever walk-off win on the road in Charlotte. Well, how can you walk off as a road team? Well, if you remember back, we were suspended against the Charlotte Knights due to the rain, and they only come in one time. So we had to finish that game on the road. So in Charlotte, we were, for the rest of that suspended game, the home team.
Oh.
And so we won, and hence the walk-off winner on the road. But technically, we were the home team, and of course, they made light of the fact that we just walked off on the road. But you're right, bottom half of an inning.
Well, it's kind of like a sudden death in hockey.
Yeah, same thing. I mean, the place goes crazy.
Well, we're going to take a very short break and get back and talk about some star power that came to Coca-Cola Park this summer. You're listening to Lehigh Valley Discourse. Our special guest tonight is Matt Province, the voice of the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs. I'm also in the studio here with John Pierce, a regular host of Lehigh Valley Discourse and number one Iron Pigs fan, at least in the studio. Well, next to Matt, maybe. But I think the number one Iron Pigs fan went to 66 games this past season, Rosalie Viscomi. And we'll be right back right after this message.
Celtic Fair, a celebration of Celtic music and culture from its roots in Ireland, Scotland, Wales, Galicia, and Brittany to its branches in Australia, Cape Breton, Canada, Chicago, New York, Philadelphia, and the Lehigh Valley. Bringing you music, interviews, and a weekly culture calendar every Thursday from 7 to 9 on WDIY Allentown listener-supported community public radio.
The time is 17 minutes after 6 o'clock. We are in the studio on Lehigh Valley Discourse this evening with the voice of the Iron Pigs, Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs, Matt Province. And before the break, I mentioned about star power coming to Coca-Cola Park during this past season. We've had players rehab here before. Roy Oswalt comes to mind and several others. But none drew the attention, I don't think, that two of the Iron Phillies that came to rehab here this summer as Chase Utley and Ryan Howard. And I want to play a couple of clips and have you listen to some highlights of what they did here, because to my memory, they really did a lot more than the typical rehabbers that come to Coca-Cola Park. So let's listen to this.
Runners lead off. Pitcher swung on a little number over the mound. Could be a tough play. Fielding it is a second baseman. Utley fires to first in time. A charging play by Utley, who throws off balance and retires Valencia by a step.
Vasquez delivers. Here's the 1-2 pitch. This is swung on and driven in the air. Right field and deep. Carson turning, looking up, and it is gone. Chase Utley delivers in his first game as an Iron Pig. And it's 8-1.
Igarashi sets. Here's his kick and his pitch to Howard. Swung on and ripped down the left field line. Farich trouble. Fair ball down into the corner. Scoring is Hudson. Ryan Howard lumbers around first. He'll stop in at second with a double. And the Pigs have cut it to a one-run game on the RBI double by Ryan Howard. How do you like that?
Hudson is at first with one out, 3-1 on Howard. Main deals, and the pitch swung on, lifted in the air out to deep left center field. Curtis racing back, looking up, and it is gone. Ryan Howard delivers his first as an Iron Pig, and it's now 2-1 Lehigh Valley.
You also heard Iron Pigs broadcaster John Schaefer during that set of clips. Incredible. The place was packed, and the intensity was incredible. Rosalie, you made some observations when Chase Utley and Ryan Howard arrived and did their thing. And what was that compared to some of the other rehabbers we've seen?
What I noticed was just their presence on the field, different from other rehabbers that I'd seen in previous seasons. And they just seemed personable, like they were part of the Iron Pigs team. They weren't Phillies, they were Iron Pigs. And it was just most noticeable to me watching their presence on the field. And I wasn't getting rid of those tickets, no way. Nobody got those tickets for those games. So.
And as soon as something like that is announced, that you have Philly stars coming to Coca-Cola Park, you're selling out in a matter of an hour or two?
Yeah, I mean, we put it on online, and I forget which one it was that was overnight. It may have been Utley. We learned late in the day before he was coming, and then the amount of ticket sales, because we didn't have a ton of tickets left over, but when you get a couple thousand tickets, the only few thousand remaining sold via the website while you're at home doing your personal thing, getting ready for the next day's game, it's amazing from a business perspective. And we saw the same with Howard. We were fortunate because we had Howard longer, but at the same time, Howard was here July 2nd, 3rd, and 5th, right around 4th of July with fireworks shows each night. So those tickets were pretty much already sold. We may have sold a couple extra walk-up GA tickets for the standing room only areas. But either way, it doesn't matter because it's so exciting and there's such a buzz in the ballpark. And for whatever the reason, you know, I've always liked the home run hitter, not to say Utley isn't, but I've kind of been intrigued by the all or miss, you know, the big swing guys. And for me, I was so excited about Ryan Howard, but it seemed to me there was even more of a stir for Chase Utley. And the fact that both of them, but especially Chase in one game, would homer and play up to the crowd was awesome. I mean, that to me was one of those hair-raising moments you get during the course of a year. Maybe number one, when Utley did it, a home run into the Bud Light trough on his one rehab game, with Phillies fans knowing that they needed to have him and have Howard back healthy for the Phillies to keep alive in the playoff race. That was as cool as it got.
As a member of the organization, what were you thinking when these guys came to Coca-Cola Park?
Well, you know, for me, it's cool. I mean, I think the biggest thing for me, Steve, was in 2009, our second year, we had Pedro Martinez pitch for us.
Oh, yes.
And from a baseball historical perspective, you know, really, you're not going to get bigger than that. You know, Ryan Howard's great. He's a local guy. Everybody loves him. And same with Chase Utley. But you have to understand that here's a guy that will be a first ballot Hall of Famer. I mean, we have had Ryan Sandberg, of course. But to call the action of a pitcher, and it's always more exciting to see the pitchers on rehab because they're out there for a longer period of time, where a guy might come to the plate once in an hour and maybe he bats a second time, but that's about it. So I think once you get through that, you kind of get a little bit more dulled to the fact that you have superstars playing in your Iron Pigs uniform. And the more and more guys that go up and play for not only the Iron Pigs, but other teams, Ryan Vogelsong, All-Star in 2011, World postseason hero this year. Brandon Moss single-handedly carried the A's on his back for stretches of time during the year. You know, all these guys are as important as the next. And that's no disrespect to Chase Utley and Ryan Howard. I was tickled to have them here, believe me. But at the same time, it's such a great game. It's great to have Bryce Harper play for the opposing team on his ascension to the major leagues. It's great to see Evan Longoria, one of the top sluggers in the American League, play on a rehab with the Rays as a Durham Bull at Coca-Cola Park. It's just awesome. And this is something, again, you talk about the affordable family entertainment as being the real key for us as a business, but it doesn't hurt those baseball fans when you have that luxury as well. And man, we've been spoiled over the 5 years.
Well, as long as you mentioned Bryce Harper, let's look back at a golden moment involving Bryce Harper right at Coca-Cola Park.
Well, wouldn't this be great for Hyatt? Build some confidence for the start with two on and two out to strike out Bryce Harper. Runners lead. It's first and second, two outs. Here's the kick and the 0-2 pitch. He struck him out swinging. Got him on the changeup, a beauty as Hyatt stands down Harper.
Well, quite a moment for Austin Hyatt, who was looking for golden moments at that point. Do you expect him to come back?
Very polite, by the way, Steve. Very polite. You know, getting it back to just that moment, though, in time, Bryce Harper had so much buildup, and he had two on and two out, as you heard on the call, and then the same situation in the fifth inning and the same result, a strikeout by Austin Hyatt, who within a month from that moment, actually it was a month to the day, was sent down to AA and came back for one start at the end of the year and got beat up pretty good. Just a tough year for Austin Hyatt, but a guy that we had a lot of expectations for. But it goes to show the beauty of baseball that even when you struggle, even when you might not win a game or have your best stuff, the one-on-one battles. I won't remember anything more about Austin Hyatt than him striking out Bryce Harper, kind of like, as I liken, the spoiled brat of baseball, twice in one night. And I won't even remember the 5.75 ERA that he had and the losing record. I really won't. That's what I'm going to remember about Austin Hyatt.
Does he look like he might be coming back? How did he do down in Reading?
And then he came back and got beat up pretty good, a lot of three home runs, I believe, in a short stint. I don't know, you know, what his future holds, but, you know, sometimes guys have off years, you know, and that's the other beauty of our game is you might see one guy 1 year and you think this guy is average, and then they bounce back and have a really strong year, and that's part of the feel-good story. That's the Ryan Vogelsong story. I mean, you can't even blame the Phillies. The Angels picked up Ryan Vogel's song after we released him in July of 2010, had him for a couple of months, released him. And so two teams let the fish get off the hook, so to speak. But that, again, that's baseball. All it takes is maybe learning one pitch or finding one flaw in your mechanic, and the next thing you know, you're on the route to the major leagues again.
Well, we had star power moments in Coca-Cola Park this year, but we also had a very emotional moment, and that I believe the date was May 17th that somebody we call the heart and soul of the Iron Pigs, who had been with them from day one, was traded, and. I'm going to add, before I play the clip, I want to ask you, Rosalie, what were you thinking on that day?
Disbelief. A phone call from a friend in New York saying, you know, there's a player, Rich Thompson, on the Iron Pigs? And I said, yes. And he said, well, he got traded to the Durham Bulls. I said, no, you're kidding. He can't have gotten traded. We have his bobblehead, and like, how am I going to get it signed at autograph night and everything? I can't believe this. So sure enough, we read all about it. It was true. It was no rumor. And I was very happy for Rich Thompson, because that's the goal of, minor leaguers, to hopefully get to the major leagues. But as a fan and somebody who was really part of the community, it was, a little bit unsettling, I should say, or just a little sad.
That's the way of minor league baseball, isn't it, Matt? You're happy for the guys who can move up, and it's always the case. Even for announcers, you're looking for ways also to make the major leagues at some point.
That's what we're all here for. I mean, we're not here to shoot below what our career goals and dreams are. I mean, that's sometimes you settle as a fact of life. But a couple of points too, and you say you're sorry and you feel bad because you lose Rich Thompson, but you know what the thing of it is he's going to the major leagues. And as much as it pained me to see him out of our lineup, we were 11 games above 500 when he got traded. And then from that point on, we finished, below 500, which another reason why we didn't make the postseason. But he's going to the major leagues. And from a humanistic standpoint, you got to feel good for the guy. Selfishly, you feel upset because you lose a leadoff hitter. You lose the guy in your community that you can rely on. But ultimately, it was a real good thing. And to kind of use a non-gender-specific equation, really Andy Tracy is to maybe say President Kennedy, JFK, as Rich Thompson was to Mother Teresa, in the sense that they're both going to be popular for extreme ways. I mean, Tracy, he was the man. I still think to this day he will be the guy that people will always say is the Papa Bear of Iron Pigs baseball, even though Rich Thompson played there 2 years later. But Rich Thompson, silently, what he did in the communities, the touching of the kids by going to the hospitals and pediatric wards and schools. He would go to schools on his own time. He might not even tell us. He'd just say, oh, you know what? The school could use someone to read to the kids today, and just go on his own. Other guys you have to threaten. Other guys the manager has to force. Rich Thompson went on his own. Where are you going to find an ambassador like that? So, again, the two have a different makeup, which made him so special to the community. But look, we're not going to rule him out as a potential 2013 Iron Pig, because Phillies went to him already once, twice, three times, four times, five times. If he can't find work come March or even earlier, January, February, who knows? You might see him sign a deal with the Philadelphia Phillies to come back in that ever popular fourth outfield role. And we'd love to have him back.
Yes. And what you mentioned, Andy Tracy, and as I said about the major leaguers that were rehabbing here, I could see, not ever speaking to either of these two guys, Andy Tracy or Rich Thompson, just watching their interaction on the field with other folks in the stands that were down below, just watching that just told me something. And those two players, to me, are true. They're just wonderful guys without even knowing them.
No, and they are, because what you see with both those guys is what you get.
Yeah, same with Ryan Sandberg.
Yep. Yeah, and Ryan Sandberg, too. I mean, I can't imagine. Can you imagine being a Hall of Fame baseball player, having basically been the most popular sports figurehead in the city, maybe shared the spotlight a little bit with Michael Jordan, but a different sport and a little bit overlapping times. But, I mean, you are a guy that has been in demand constantly. And even from us, I mean, every day, media, what newspaper, what radio station, what TV station, every day getting a piece of him. And the fact that he kept his mild-mannered demeanor, the fact that he always put the Iron Pigs first, It speaks volumes. And you remember guys like this. You know, unfortunately in sports you have your share of knuckleheads. And you have your, and unfortunately the way the media is and Twitter and all this stuff, those are the ones that typically get most of the headlines nowadays. And it kind of demoralizes your fanship, you know, to be a fan and pull for people who aren't necessarily people you'd ever want your kids to model their lives after. But then there are the Andy Tracys, the Rich Thompsons, and Ryan Sandbergs, and you remember what makes sports still so pure in so many ways.
Matt, I was in the Iron Pigs clubhouse just after the announcement that Ryan Sandberg was coming as the manager, and one of the young fellows there who was working in the shop said to me, "You wouldn't believe the number of orders we have from places like Iowa, which would be a big Chicago Cubs country, for Iron Pigs shirt with Sandberg on the back of it, with anything that had to do with Ryan." It's amazing.
And everywhere you went, Steve, lines, people wanting his autograph. I've heard so many stories from people in the whole Midwest who have come here because Ryan Sandberg was their favorite player growing up. I mean, I've heard the story ad nauseum. I mean, what's the old saying? If I had a dollar for every time someone told me how far they drove to see their childhood idol or name their kid Ryan or Ryan after Ryan Sandberg, well, then I'd probably at least double my salary annually. But it's always good to see that, too, because it just shows how important baseball is for that demographic, the fact that there's still an interest in a guy like Ryan Sandberg, whose career ended in the late 90s, you know, 15 years later, shows how special baseball is.
Exactly.
We're going to be talking more about Ryan Sandberg. I want to close out the segment on Rich Thompson by playing a couple of highlights.
Now the set. Wood delivers home. Swung on. Hit high in the air. Right center field deep. A long run for Boggs, and that ball is going to be off the wall and in for extras. Thompson can fly. He's galloping around second. He's going for third, and the throw is laid. On a one-out stand-up triple for Richie Rich. He continues to get it done. 4-0, top of the ninth inning, two outs, and here's the 2-2 by Schwimmer. Swung on, drilled center field, racing in Thompson. He slides, he makes the grab. How fitting that a guy with three hits in the game makes a star-worthy play. Ball game over, Pigs fly, Pigs fly, Pigs fly to a 4-0 shutout. Seth Buckminster is behind home plate. Toby Basner, the crew chief, is at first. Mike Estabrook at second. Adam Hamari at third, a three-man crew. And let's listen in for the applause for Rich Thompson. Standing ovation at Coca-Cola Park, his old walk-up song as well. And Thompson to lead it off. And now people can settle back in and root for their Iron Pigs as their former favorite son, Rich Thompson, leads off against Ellerton.
Well, that was, of course, I think the date was June 15th, and Rich Thompson made his first appearance back at Coca-Cola Park with the Durham Bulls. The last question I want to ask is, in terms of the trade, the Phillies trading Rich Thompson, why did they do it? Did Rich Thompson learn about an opportunity maybe to play close to his home in Tampa?
He had no clue. In fact, Ryan Sandberg said one of his favorite moments as being a minor league manager was calling him up that morning. Thompson could not have believed that was going to happen. A career major leaguer had one game, you know, had a pinch, couple pinch running appearances and one at bat all the way back in 2004, getting a call that he was going to the big leagues, and both of them had tears in their eyes, as the story goes. But a situation like that, the Phillies really don't. They wound up getting a minor league outfielder for him, a guy that came to play for us in Kyle Hudson. But the trade is more for Rich Thompson. The one thing that you love about baseball is that guys won't hold other guys back from an opportunity. Now, if Rich Thompson was going to go up and hit 50 home runs and 150 RBIs, the Phillies wouldn't give him away. But Tampa needed that type of player. They called the Phillies up, and the Phillies thought, you know what, this is Rich Thompson's opportunity to get back in the big leagues. He hasn't had one in 5 years with us. Let's make it happen. And the teams kind of almost work together on it, which to me is awesome. But about those clips, too, which is amazing, that triple that we played was his last at-bat as an Iron Pig. That catch was the final out of a game he wore an Iron Pig's uniform. Those weren't pulled out just as Rich Thompson highlights. Almost amazing. Like, the gods of baseball knew those were his final two moments, one as a hitter, one as a fielder for the Pigs, and he made those two plays, and then the next morning was traded. So, I mean, for me, I thought that's kind of it's fitting. I mean, the only word I could think of is perfectly fitting for Rich Thompson's career to end as an Iron Pig, just like that.
Well, we know he was released from the Tampa Bay. We learned today, actually, that he was released from the Tampa Bay 40-man roster and would have been expected to start the season at Durham, but he has elected free agency. So we could see him again in an Iron Pigs uniform. It's possible. We're pulling for that. But, of course, we want also what's best for Rich Thompson. And by the end of the season, as we wrap up 2012, looking at the Phillies, on some nights you could have called them the Iron Phillies. And we were watching a game one night when Eric Kratz, Dominic Brown, Kevin Franson, former Iron Pig from last year, John Mayberry, and I don't recall, but it was one of the pitchers, were all in the Phillies lineup at the same time. That's five out of the nine slots were filled by Iron Pigs or former Iron Pigs. What do you look at when you see? What do you think when you look at that, Matt?
That's what we're here for. I mean, that's the name of the game, you know. And for a lot of teams, Steve, John, I mean, that's the norm. That's what's so crazy about it, because we've had these higher price free agents, and we've had a team in the Phillies that has really been competitive and has gone out to get key pieces when they've needed them, as opposed to bringing up youngsters. Well, this year they didn't need them because they weren't really alive. I mean, they were technically alive, but they were struggling all year long in terms of the pennant race. And this is what teams do. They send up. That's why we have a minor league system. People say, well, why do each team has so many minor league teams? Why? Well, this is why. And every one of those guys you named is a quality character. I mean, I think Tyler Cloyd was probably the pitcher that you refer to. Awesome guy. You know, John Mayberry Jr., sharp as a tack. Dominic Brown, I could go. I mean, I love the guy. I felt so bad when he struggled at our place, because he's got as big a heart in between the rib cage as any athlete I've seen, you know, in my 16 years of baseball. Kevin Franson, stand-up dude. Eric Kratz, the best. So you're not saying now there's that you know, that donkey that snubbed the fans with any autograph request, or there's that egotist who's made it to the big leagues. I hope he strikes out every time. No, complete opposite. And they helped the Phillies. The Phillies played better baseball when these guys got the chance. And, again, that makes you feel great.
We're here in Lehigh Valley discoursing on Lehigh Valley Discourse with the voice of the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs, Matt Provence, and regular host, John Pierce, and number one Iron Pigs fan, Rosalie Viscomi. We're going to be back, beginning to talk a little bit about the offseason and 2013, and we have, as I said earlier, a big announcement about 2013 right after this message.
For program support on WDIY, we thank Touchstone Theater on Bethlehem's South Side, presenting Going Green the Wong Way. Created and performed by Christina Wong, this true life adventure takes us from Christina's confrontational sixth grade science project to her wandering years as a missionary of recycling to her true calling as Los Angeles's patron martyr of carbon-free living. November 16th and 17th. For tickets and information, 610-867-1689 or touchstone.org.
Okay, we're back on Lehigh Valley Discourse, and we are moving on to the off season. The Iron Pigs have not played a game since September, so we are officially in the off season, and the World Series has ended.
Steve, so let me just butt in for a second here. Something that I find ridiculous, Matt, see if you can help me with this. Why in the world Major League Baseball goes almost until November? I think the minor leagues have it right. You end the regular season around Labor Day. You have your playoffs, your series. Fine, let's be done with it. It's the almighty dollar, isn't it?
I was about to say it's all about money, and you took the words, paraphrased the words anyway from what I was about to say. And you know what? To me, the biggest shock about it is, or the thing that stinks about it is that you could do it if you were guaranteed that a Texas Rangers, Houston Astro, Dome team, Florida team was going to be in the postseason and eventually in the World Series. But I've said this, as much as I love baseball, and I love the 162-game schedule, I really do, because I think it's a marathon, and that's what baseball is all about. It's a numbers game. It's stats. It's comparing players now to players 25 years ago or even further back. So I kind of have a moral hiccup as how to remedy the situation, but I don't like to see cold weather like that. And both teams have cold weather. Yeah, but that's not the point. The point is baseball is best played when the body's loose and warm. It's you stand around for a while, then you go hit, and you're in the outfield. You might not really move, but you might not run for a couple of pitches or a couple of batters, and then you run. By nature of the way the baseball game is played, for the fans, they sit kind of idly. It's not like basketball where you're up on your feet for a big series, or it's not like football where you're constantly chanting. And it needs to be played, in my opinion, in warmer weather. And the solution for me would have been to cut down on the postseason rounds. I wasn't a big fan of the wild card edition this year. They've got enough. What good's a one-game play? If you play 162 games, you can come down to one game?
Right.
So the team that's got the better pitcher is probably going to win? But it's about money and keeping those fans into it longer, so I understand it. But it's amazing. And then the TV, playing them at night. You lose a whole generation of kids who can't stay up and watch the end of a World Series. You know what? They'll go into a different sport.
Right, at least those on the East Coast.
Yeah.
Now, the kids who are out on the West Coast have a better shake at that.
Yeah, but where are you? And the crazy thing is that baseball fans are traditionally stronger on the Eastern Seaboard, at least in the Northeast. You know, I know we're biased, but you have your best fans in the world, baseball-wise, on the Northeast. It's a shame. It really is.
It really is.
Philly, New York, Boston, et cetera.
So, Steve, I do have to ask you, why in the world were you and Rosalie watching a Phillies game? You're Iron Pigs fans.
Well,
the Mets must not have been playing that night.
Oh, the Mets, yeah, well. Not that night or.
You got them stumbling forever.
that night or most of the season?
This is just in the interest of full disclosure. That at the major league level, Steve is a Mets fan. I am a Cubs fan, and Matt, I have no idea.
Yankees.
You used to be in the blessed world of the Chicago Cubs organization. You left it for the Phillies. I presume it was a promotion.
Yes. If I will accept your forgiveness if you shall grant it to me. But no longer a Cub.
And Rosalie, really, at the major league, you have no.
I am truly an Iron Pigs fan, but what happened this season was the Iron Pigs went to so many different teams, I had to watch more games than the 66 home games that I went to at Coca-Cola Park. So I'm watching, all of these other teams, the Angels and the Phillies. I call them the Iron Pigs, the Philadelphia Iron Pigs, because that's where the guys were. So it just broadened my team. No, I'm not a major league. I follow wherever the players go. That's
right.
My team.
And Steve says that she was not at all a baseball fan before the Iron Pigs came to the Lehigh Valley.
That is correct. Yeah.
One of my biggest clients that I deal with is Nacy Printing, which is a locally owned and operated print shop in Allentown. Good people. Frank Nacy's been active in the community for many years. But when I first went into them to pitch this idea of them being a founding partner, he looked at me and goes, "Man, I'm not a baseball fan." His wife, "We don't really like baseball. We get into football and this, that, and the other." And I said, "It's not necessarily about the baseball. You understand what's going on. And you realize what it's all about." Well, push came to shove. They wound up joining us up, year one or even before then. And they don't miss a game. And not only that, do they not miss Iron Pigs games, but like Rosie, they'll watch the Phillies games to see how those guys do. And I think the story is one that's not just exclusive to Rosalie or to my friends Frank and Carol Nacy, but this is something that has happened, a culture. And I always say to every intern who comes into work in our office, they are all the Reds fans and Yankees fans and all kinds of fans. I say, you know what? After you find your first job in minor league baseball, you're no longer a Yankees fan. You're no longer a Reds fan. You're a fan of the team you're working for. That's who you see. That's where your passion is. That's who you will follow. And you know what? I still maintain some of my loyalties to the Yankees and other teams, but it's not what it once was. And now I'm an Iron Pigs guy. And that's until the next job, which may or may never come, Iron Pigs are number one in my baseball world for me.
Well, you mentioned your baseball world. We are in the off season now, and I want to let our listeners know that Matt Province is by no means inactive once the baseball season starts. And take a little listen to this.
Back with the basketball is Madera, and the ball is stripped and stolen away by Wilkerson. One-on-one the other way. He goes up and jams it home. Isaiah takes it to the promised land, and a timeout for St. Joseph. Hands off to Schickel. They better hurry. 7 on the clock. Down to 5. Schickel to Wilkerson. Tries a 3 from straight on. Bullseye! Isaiah hits it at the buzzer. And NJIT's ballistic shooting continues into the half.
The voice of the New Jersey Institute of Technology, Matt Province. Tell us about that, Matt.
Well, I tell you, it's one of these deals where I have a great time with it. And, the enthusiasm you may have heard from those clips probably matches, the Blanco walk-off home run you heard a while ago or the triple play in the sense that I get into it, And there's not a great following. They are Division I, are the Highlanders. But it, for me, it's a lot of fun. It's a chance to do a different sport and get away from baseball for a couple of months, even though I'm still obviously working here full time with the Iron Pigs. But it lets me do my thing in a different capacity. And I do stuff locally with Lafayette College, some volleyball, some soccer, some basketball on a fill-in basis. And, you know, you've got to be versatile in the sport. But for me, as I get older, too, I start to appreciate, especially at the college level, like, you know, you always heard it was a cliche, oh, the college sport's so much better because you have young kids and they really – but, you know, you start to get into it. And I'm not much of a soccer guy, and I've never watched volleyball. And I start doing these games and seeing the efforting going on by these student-athletes who have a zillion other things on their minds and just realize the true competitive – like people at the Olympics. No one watches curling on a Saturday and – in an odd number year, but all of a sudden everybody can tell you all about that broom and that thing during the Olympics because everybody gets into it because it's competitive at a pure form, and that's what I find at the college level. And so I'll be doing a lot of that stuff again here, you know, in conjunction with my Iron Pigs responsibilities, and hopefully for fans that like basketball, if they ever get a chance to listen to the free broadcast at NJITHighlanders.com, they'll hear the same types of wit, enthusiasm, and just overall fun that I try to take pride in as my style is on the air.
We were trolling on. I had the remote as I normally do, and we came to a college football game a couple of Thursdays ago, I think it was, and we heard John Schaefer.
Ah, yes,
East
yes.
Strasburg.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
So you guys keep busy in the off season, and your voices are always great to hear. Well,
Matt,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'd like to ask Matt. How do you compare announcing the different sports? Do you have to prepare more for one sport than for another? Do you have to know individual names more in one than another and so on?
It's a great question. You know, each sport is different in so many ways. People say baseball broadcasting is the toughest. In some ways, I agree because there's so much dead time. Not dead time, but you have to really be able to integrate stories, integrate strategy conversations to, in my opinion, keep the listener entertained because of the nature of the speed of the sport. Some people think that's very difficult. I tend to enjoy it. But I can't go and wing an Iron Pigs game if I haven't studied. I could go to a basketball game, get the numbers, and because there's so much action. To me, I think basketball in some ways is almost the easiest because, and hockey might be similar, there's always action. There's always shots on goal or shots at the net for that matter. So for me personally, I enjoy it because I'm constantly over the edge with like excitement and enthusiasm. But at the same time, for some people, they think that's harder. You know, for me, I think it's a little bit easier. Football is kind of a mix of both. You have downtime in between plays, but then you have these very exciting plays almost each and every down. I love them all. I never thought I'd say this. I never played a game of soccer in my life, and I was asked to do some soccer games. And because of my relationship with Lafayette College, I took on the duty. Had to read about four hours one night of soccer rules, 4 hours the next night soccer jargon and the terminology, and then finally study the teams. I enjoy that now. You know, I get into that as well. But they do each game takes hours of preparation, in my opinion, if you're going to do it right. And you know, with two kids and 144 baseball games in the summer, sometimes it takes a little too much time away from family time in the winter. But it is my calling, so to speak. That's what really gets me going and gets me excited from a work perspective.
Well, we want to look ahead to 2013, and I think the time has come for this announcement. What can you tell us about a replacement for Ryan Sandberg? And just to alert our fans who might not be familiar, that Iron Pigs manager for the last 2 years, Ryan Sandberg, has gone up to the Philadelphia Phillies. He will be the third base coach and infield instructor, and so the Iron Pigs had to set about looking for a replacement for 2013, and the name is?
Well, the name is, there's my drum roll impromptu style, but Dave Brundage. Now, it's not going to be a household name. There was a lot of speculation in local media about some guys within the organization, some guys without being in the organization that were being considered, but Dave Brundage may be a familiar name to really devout Iron Pigs fans, at least those who have been here with us from day one, because he's been managing the Gwinnett Braves in our league, or the Braves affiliate in our league every day since the Iron Pigs have been in the AAA ranks with the International League. He's been 6 years with the Braves in AAA, the last four, of course, with Gwinnett. Now, last year, Gwinnett didn't do so hot. They finished 62-82. However, his prior 3 years with the Gwinnett Braves, they made the playoffs once, and their winning percentage was very good. He had 231 wins against just 198 losses. He's a 48-year-old who's got a lot of energy. He's a very good manager. It'll be his 16th season managing at the minor league level. He's won three league titles. He's been to the postseason seven times. So he's well-respected, doesn't have the pedigree of a Ryan Sandberg, never made it to the major leagues after getting landlocked 6 years in AAA as an infielder-outfielder player in the Seattle Mariners organization. But Dave Brundage will be the manager of the Iron Pigs in 2013, and with his track record and his personality, we're very excited about a replacement for the Hall of Famer Ryan Sandberg.
And Matt, now that he's been named manager of the Iron Pigs, will he go to Florida and for that entire spring training with the Phillies and be there with the AA manager, the single-A, and that whole – explain a little bit how that works.
Yeah, they go down a little bit earlier than the players do. They have organizational meetings, which start typically early February. Some players even go down earlier if they're coming back from injury or need to work on something, and there's usually some instruction going on there as well, even prior. But the responsibility is to kind of get into with the organizational meeting, learn a little bit more about the individual players, have a feel for who's coming in and who's going to be assigned to that manager early on in camp. And a lot of times the AAA manager will have a lot of AA guys because anybody who's on the 40-man roster and any veteran who's been invited to Major League Spring Training is obviously up in Major League Spring Training. So they'll work with the players for 2 months, you know, all of February essentially and all of March. And then they'll assign his team. He'll have input. You know, they'll sit around a table, and the farm director will have probably the most input. But the individual managers and roving coordinators will all talk about what they feel the player's strong suits and weak suits are and what they need to work on and what level's most appropriate. So he'll be really bleeding Philly blood, Philly red, as early as the new year. And keep in mind now, this guy was drafted fourth round by the Phillies as a undergrad out of Oregon State University. So he, like Ryan Sandberg, was a high pick of the Philadelphia Phillies back. For Brundage, it was earlier. It was a little bit later than Ryan Sandberg. He was drafted by the Phillies in 1986. Played 2 years, including 14 games in Reading, before being traded over to the Seattle Mariners organization.
And he played for the Mariners?
Yeah, he got up. He was 6 years in Calgary when the Calgary Cannons were in existence, and they're now defunct, but he will always be the Calgary, unless they bring the team back with that same name, he'll always be the Calgary all-time leader in several categories, including games played and runs scored. And he converted to a pitcher late in his career, had a couple of decent years with the AAA Cannons, but never made it back or never made it up to the major leagues at all.
And okay, we know now about the new manager. Sal Rendi was who's the current hitting coach, was one of the candidates. Is he going to remain with the team? Do you know?
We don't know as of yet. The whole coaching staff will be announced probably in some of the following days. But Sal Rendi, in my opinion, made a very good roving hitting coordinator because he works well with so many age groups that I could certainly see him returning to that post. So we'll need both a hitting coach and a pitching coach if indeed that does happen. Mm-hmm. There's no guarantees that'll happen. But it'll be, first time since our inaugural year that we could potentially have three new faces down in that clubhouse.
And speaking of new faces in the clubhouse, what are some of the names we might look for next year on the Iron Pigs roster?
It is early, and I'd say probably if we did the show 3 weeks later, sometime around Thanksgiving, at least we'd have an educated guess of some of the veterans who have been signed. But probably in the next couple of days, next week or two, you'll see a list of maybe a dozen minor league free agents that have been signed by Philadelphia. And that's always exciting to me because those are the guys where you get the Andy Tracys and the Brandon Mosses. When that happens, Kevin France and Eric Kratz, these are all guys that typically will sign with a major league team, about this time. So we'll have a better feel. But there's going to be a lot of youngsters, a lot of young prospects in Lehigh Valley, really for first time since we've been affiliated with the Phillies. Because you're looking at potentially Tyson Gillies in center, who's a big prospect. Leandro Castro in right field, big prospect. We'll probably see Darren Ruff, although there's going to be a movement to get him right over AAA from AA to the majors after his 38 home runs in Reading this year. But he could be in the outfield. You're going to see Harold Garcia, who missed all of this past year with an ACL tear, probably as our second baseman. It's the next wave. Cody Ash, a kid that came up to Reading, struggled initially, then really put it on in the second half of the year, helping them make the playoffs. A lot of young pitching prospects. We could be pretty good in the sense that we could have a lot of blue chip names. And again, that's something that we've never had the luxury of. Even with all the good teams, at least the last couple of years we've never had quite a team like I think we'll see coming up from Florida in 2013.
And we're looking at the sixth year of the Iron Pigs' existence.
Number six.
Coming up in 2013. Steve, I'd like to say just a word about Coca-Cola Park, which is such a gem here in the Lehigh Valley. It debuted in 2008 and became an overnight sensation and drew rave reviews for its intimacy, fan-friendly atmosphere, and architectural design. And FoxNews.com has ranked Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs fans as the best fans in all of minor league baseball.
Well,
wow.
Fox News, huh?
That's right.
Okay. Speaking of Coca-Cola.
Well, you know, kind of the irony here is that we're not conservative in our game presentation at all. I mean, we are as liberal as a promoting unit with all the crazy and kooky stuff that we do, and yet the conservative, it's kind of almost ironic, but it's great because those are good people who know what they're doing, and seeing their name attached to ours just really validates what's going on.
Thanks for picking up on that, Matt. I probably couldn't do that. Speaking of Coca-Cola Park, though, something very special is going to happen next September at Coca-Cola Park, which is really an honor for the park and for the Iron Pigs organization.
Yeah, it's quite frankly, we've been blessed. I mean, this facility and the amount of money that has been reinvested by our ownership group in keeping the stadium fresh, in keeping the ideas fresh and the promotions fresh, Steve, for me, says a lot about why you need to be in the Lehigh Valley if you're a guy in my shoes, because you understand and appreciate how important the presentation, how important the stadium, how important everything is, the fan experiences to those who come out. And as a person attached to that, you really feel good. You have a real good feeling about what's going on. And our ownership group, for that reason, has made that so special.
And next September, the AAA championship game will be at Coca-Cola Park.
It will be. The national championship game is going to be on September 17th, which is a Tuesday. And individual tickets have only gone on sale right now to game plan holders.
And we have our tickets.
You got them already.
We're ready to go. September, I don't want to hurry the time away, but we're ready.
No. Listen to her gloat.
I tell you, it's cool because, again, we had that with the All-Star game in 2010. Right. But anytime you can showcase yourself nationally, it means a lot to the fans and to us. So, I mean, that's going to be great. It'll be on NBC Sports, televised live. Hopefully the Iron Pigs will be in it. That's the one thing that would make it extremely special is if the Iron Pigs are competing for that right.
Yeah. A couple of other things are happening before then. The annual winter banquet, I want to ask you about that. And, of course, our first visit to Coca-Cola Park in 2013 will be for National Pig Day.
Yep, that's always maybe the favorite day of the year, at least when you're really starting to realize that everything's coming close, you know, is that National Pig Day, tickets go on sale, et cetera. The Iron Pigs, the banquet that we do annually, Steve, will be on January 24th this season. That's the Iron Pigs Charities Banquet, which is always about 1,000-person event. This year going to be at the Sands Event Center. Don't want to steal the thunder about that. So between that and January, we'll talk more about it if we have time, but also with National Pig Day, which is always that first weekend in March or the last weekend in February. Date still hasn't been confirmed yet. These are all exciting times for us, and that signifies that baseball is right around the corner.
We're waiting, right, Rosalie?
We're waiting, and also for the R-Phils versus the Iron Pigs. Doesn't that happen?
It's at Coca-Cola Park this year. Yep.
Yes, yes. Tuesday. We haven't gotten our tickets yet, but we will get them.
She is the number one fan. Yes, you know, we may have to put her on the payroll as an ambassador, as an ambassador to all that's Iron Pig here in the Valley.
Well, hopefully one of those Wednesdays next season, Rosalie can trek up to wherever you're located. You're located all around the ballpark, right?
Yeah, well, who knows where we'll be from week to week, but you'll find us. Just listen for the guy screaming and spitting into the microphone because something like a triple play is happening.
Well, we've come just about to the end of this edition of Lehigh Valley Discourse. I'm here in the studio with the voice of the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs, Matt Province, number one Iron Pigs fan, Rosalie Viscomi, and regular Lehigh Valley Discourse host, John Pierce. Is there anything you'd like to share with us before we kind of end the program, Matt? Have we missed anything?
Well, you're asking the wrong guy. I could go on for 3-4 more hours. Believe me, we've had some long rain delays over the years. You know what, though? You know, Iron Pigs Charities, we talk about all they've done. They just had their Sweets and Treats up at the ballpark, which is 700 kids, underprivileged or disabled kids, which I think is great. We talk about the success of the Iron Pigs so much that, not to mention Iron Pigs Charities, which has raised right under $500,000 now over its inception back in late 07, at a time when recession and companies have to pull back from spending and charitable donations, is certainly a pride of our organization. And again, that is something you'll see on the website here soon. January 24th is that banquet that will hold. First year will be at the Sands Event Center, obviously, because of its its new establishment here. But we're excited about it, a large venue for that large event. We do know that at least Eric Kratz and Kevin Franson will be back. You know, Phillies now, Iron Pigs last 2 years, and two of the best guys we've had. So that'll be a special night, too, on January 24th, and very soon information by the end of the week, if not early next week, will appear at ironpigsbaseball.com.
Well, thanks, Matt Province, for joining us again in what has become a tradition, pre- and post-season on Lehigh Valley Discourse. We hope you will join us again as the 2013 season approaches.
Do it in March. Let's plan on it.
Thank you, and thank you to Rosalie and John as well. And I want to thank our listeners for listening to Lehigh Valley Discourse on WDIY Allentown, 88.1 FM and HD, listener-supported community public radio.